Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I met with the Philadelphia Orchestra's English horn, Elizabeth Starr Masudnia. I first asked her about how she began playing the instrument.
I grew up in Winmore, PA, and went to Springside School, and the music teacher there when I was in third grade recommended that I play an instrument. And I'd heard a local oboist student at the school at the time, Cindy Fleming, play the oboe, and I knew right away I wanted to play the oboe. And in junior high and high school, I studied with Louis Rosenblatt, who is actually my predecessor in the orchestra and a very famous English horn player. And I loved him as a teacher and a person. So I was always open to playing the English horn. And I played in the Philadelphia Youth Orchestra. There were opportunities to play English horn solos. I asked my parents to buy me an English horn as well as an oboe, which they luckily did, and I just loved playing it right away.
Well, it's interesting that now we're talking about this, you're sitting here with your English horn. It looks kind of like an oboe, and for people who are not familiar with the instrument or who have never seen it up close, could you talk about how it is the same or different from an oboe?
Sure. First of all, I want to clarify that it is probably the worst named instrument ever invented, because it is neither English nor a horn, but as you say, a member of the oboe family. It basically looks like a larger oboe, which the oboe is the soprano double reed instrument. But what distinguishes it from the oboe is its length, and it has an egg-shaped bell, which contributes to its mellow sound. It also has a bocal that is curved and helps attach the double reed to the instrument. So obviously, since it's longer, it has a lower sound, and because of the bell, a more mellow sound than the oboe.
And when you say the bocal, that's the...
The bocal is basically a curved silver tube that connects the reed to the instrument. The oboe does not have a bocal. You just attach the reed directly to the instrument.
So is it difficult going back and forth between the oboe and the English horn?
It's not impossible. They're very close. The fingering is the same. They're both double reeds, although it's different reeds, and the English horn reed is bigger than the oboe reed. But the air stream and the embouchure are slightly different. So to play both very well is a challenge. Or either one of them.
What is the range?
The range goes, I'll play our lowest note and highest note. So this would be the lowest note, although in Mahler and Strauss, sometimes there's a note one half step below, and that then for that note, we put an extension on the instrument. But for our purposes today, this is the lowest note. And this is the highest note that I can play. So as you can tell, it really doesn't have a very large range. It's only 2.5 octaves to play, and it really doesn't have a large dynamic range. You can't play that soft or that loud. So really what it is, it's an extremely expressive instrument, and so composers use it usually when they have something very special to express that no other instrument can do except for the English horn.
How have composers written for it over the years?
They've often used it to represent a shepherd, which would be the case with Berlioz, Rossini, Strauss, and Wagner. But also I feel it can be often used as the single voice of despair, which Shostakovich uses that a lot. And he has some very extended, long English horn solos, which to me expresses sort of the single despair of human existence.
Wow. What drew you to the sound?
Well, it's a dark sound, and you can blow more on it in the oboe, so it's actually a more freeing feeling to play the English horn. I always enjoyed that part of it.
When you first pick up the English horn and you warm up, what do you do?
Well, I make sure the instrument itself is warm, and then I make sure that my reed is wet enough to play, and then I'm basically testing to see if the instrument reed and me are working well enough together to produce some sort of pleasant sound.
Do you make your own reeds as well?
Yes, all of us in the Philadelphia Orchestra make our own reeds, and that's a significant part of our existence on the planet. And we gouge and scrape the reeds to specific needs. And you need different kinds of reeds for different kinds of pieces, and also different kinds of reeds, whether you're playing a solo, a recital, 2D in the orchestra. And then on top of that, if the weather changes, none of the reeds that you made for that day are going to work. So you have to completely remake your reeds for different kinds of weather. So it keeps us very busy and off the streets.
Now, we were talking about repertoire, and you mentioned earlier that the Berlioz was very significant for this instrument.
Yes, I probably would not have my job today if it weren't for Berlioz writing Symphonie Fantastique. That was actually the first time, although Gluck had written a few pieces for English horn, but Berlioz really put the English horn on the map with Symphonie Fantastique. He had heard in 1829 Rossini's William Tell overture, which used the English horn in the famous solo in that piece. And he'd actually proofread the score for the publisher for that. So he very much knew of that piece. And also both Rossini and Berlioz knew of an extremely virtuosic oboist and English hornist, Gustav Vogt, who was principal in the Paris Opera. And he inspired those composers to write for the English horn. So not only did Berlioz write this famous solo for the English horn, but he also wrote a book about different characteristics of instruments. And he mentioned the English horn for its capacity for expression and isolation. Not only that, after this piece, Berlioz wrote many other pieces that had big English horn solos, including Roman Carnival Overture, Rob Roy Overture, and Damnation of Faust.
Wow. Now, the Berlioz Symphonie Fantastique is such a colorful piece. And in the first movement, we have the artist dreaming. In the second movement, there's a ball. And then in the third movement, you take us really to this very bucolic setting. How is Berlioz using the horn? What emotions is he evoking, do you think?
Well, I just want to quote from his theory of instrumentation, which he wrote after this piece, 1843. But I think what he wrote here conveys what he used in this piece and also how other composers use the English horn later on. But what he wrote is, no other instrument can convey feelings of absence, abandonment, and painful isolation as vividly as the English horn.
So when you're playing this, and aside from practicing coming in cold and getting just the right intonation, are you thinking about that aspect of it as well?
Well, yeah, there's, I think painful isolation can describe a lot of the life as an English horn player. Of course, occasionally we can have some fun too, but I can identify a lot with that.
What do you mean?
Well, all I mean is I'm the only English horn player in the orchestra, and our position is a lot like a kicker on the football team. You don't need us all the time, but when you do need us, we are really important. You do need us. So there's a lot of responsibility on my shoulders for when there is a big English horn solo. I'm the only one who can take care of that. And so I alone have that charge. And so that's what I meant to say.
So historically, composers were using the English horn to represent a shepherd and a longing for simpler times, perhaps, and also were cognizant of the fact that the sound can be so evocative and portray a kind of sense of isolation, as you say. As the 20th century has gone forward, are composers writing in different ways?
So actually what's happened is, as you see, back to Rossini's time, the virtuosic oboe, also his position was solo oboe and solo English horn. So the very best players would play the first oboe and the English horn solos. As the orchestra expanded and musicians began to improve their skills and specialize more, as the orchestras developed today, principal oboe plays the principal oboe solos. But then we have specialists like I am who concentrate most of their time on English horn, and so we would play all the English horn solos. As that's developed over, say, the past 40 years, since there's so many English horn specializing in English horn, A lot of us have requested composers to write concertos for us, or also chamber music and other piano solos, so that we have more to play off the stage. So really the repertoire has expanded in that way since those times.
What's the most fun about playing English horn?
The most fun is just, I love playing solos. I also enjoy getting the attention, and I think we probably get more bows for the amount of notes played than any other instrument. So it's really, I enjoy that as well.
Well, it's great because you're sitting right in the middle of the orchestra. So for a lot of the audience, they're not aware sometimes of what they're hearing. And so it's great for you to have a spotlight on you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I do think that's helpful about conductors giving bows at the end, is everyone can see which individual players and instruments played those solos. And again, because there's so much confusion because of the sort of misname of my instrument, it's nice for people to see that it's a member of the oboe section and not a member of the horn section.
Why is it called English horn?
Yeah, there are two stories about that. One is, in German, it was called Engelisch Horn, or Horn of the Angels, and that it was a mistranslation of that to English horn. Or the other is, in the French word for it is cor anglais, which meant angled horn, because the first English horns, instead of having an angled bocal, the instrument itself was angled, but that was mistranslated as English horn. So either way, it was a bad translation that stuck.
And do you find people constantly being surprised that your instrument doesn't look like a horn at all?
I do find that the average person really has no idea what an English horn is. So one of my goals is I would love for the Philadelphia area just to, first of all, know what the English horn is and really enjoy what a special, unique instrument it is.
Great. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Starr Masudnia.
Thank you, Susan. I really enjoyed it.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.